and difficult passage. Take a bit of explaining, but with God's help, we'll do it. So before we do anything else, let us pray. Father God, we pray that you'll speak to us from your words in the Bible and encourage us with your truth and strengthen us in our Christian faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now, this little book of Ecclesiastes occupies an important place in the Bible, not least because more than any other book, it gives us a Christian perspective on our frustrations with life. And there are two things that eat away at us about this feeling of unfairness in life. Firstly, from tonight's passage, we can see that there is so much unfairness because of the uncertainty in life. In chapter 8, verses 2 to 5, it tells us about the uncertainty of authority. If your boss is volatile, we are terrified of what they might do and we are weighed down by misery. In verses 8, chapter 8, verse 11 and 14, we've got the uncertainty of justice. Life is not fair because the wicked prosper and the good suffer. And then in chapter 9, verses 2 to 3, uncertainty about the future. Bookmakers and gambling websites are making a fortune and gamblers are stupid. Life seems so unfair. And then secondly, the certainty of death. The only uncertainty is how and when we will die. Life is short and we're really only here for a very short time. Some of us are at the halfway mark. Some of us are nearing the finishing line. Some of us are dipping for that finishing tape, if I could be so bold to say. And we ask, where did it all go? Life is not only short, but it also seems so unfair. Even during our short time on earth, our experiences of life are so mixed. The highs and the lows, the unexpected events that bring both joy and sorrow. And one of the reasons why I think this book is given to us as a gift from God is because I know facing these twin realities of the unfairness of life and the certainty of death is an extremely difficult thing. We would much rather avoid thinking about them altogether, and given half a chance, we would much rather take our minds elsewhere in this life. Someone once said that humans are the only species that know they are going to die one day, and they spend all of their time trying to avoid thinking about it. And of course, our modern world has done so much to make that easier than ever. There are so many ways we can try to distract ourselves from the harsh realities of the unfairness and shortness of this life. Back in 1985, New York University's Neil Postman wrote a book called Amusing Ourselves to Death. Everything he saw coming seems to have happened because in the book, he essentially argues that the invention of TV has changed not only what we think, but about the way we think. Entertainment distracts us from the world around us and has created the age of show business. Just look at the recent presidential debates, or how film stars and TV stars have political power, particularly in places like the US. You can think about Ronald Reagan, Arnold Schwarzenegger, let alone Donald Trump. Or how much parliamentary action is now on our TVs and how serious debate has been replaced by showmanship. Postman wrote in 1985 that when you're watching a TV show, it's nearly impossible to say, let me think about that a moment, or I don't know what you mean when you say that. The very act of thinking is boring, he says. So in our modern world, Postman argues we can quite literally amuse ourselves all the way to the grave. And what he wrote was 20 years before the invention of technologies that have just done even more to insulate us from reality. The internet, games consoles, mobile phones, virtual realities and worlds. No matter how bad your life is, you can come home and win in a game and make you feel good about yourself. Well, I guess Satan is delighted that we have more and more to fill our time and distract us from thinking about God. But amusing ourselves to death is just a chasing of the wind, a vanity. While in a world of amusement, Ecclesiastes is a bit of a cold shower, isn't it? It wants us to face reality rather than escape reality. The teacher in Ecclesiastes says, it's a good thing to look at life under the sun and to really take it to heart. Whoever we are, we need to face facts, says our teacher. Steve Jobs died an untimely death back in 2011. Steve Jobs was one of the founders and creators of Apple computers. A man in his 50s, seemingly with so much to look forward to in his life. 6 years before he died, he gave an address at Stanford University. You can watch it on YouTube. He said, since the age of 17, for the past 33 years, I've looked myself in the mirror every morning and asked myself, if today was the last day of my life, would I still do what I'm about to do today? And whenever the answer has been no for too many days in a row, I know I need to change something. He then went on to say in the very next sentence, remembering I will be dead soon is the most important tool I have ever encountered to help me make the big choices in life. Remembering I will be dead soon is the most important thing. Most people try to avoid thinking about that reality. But in tonight's reading, chapter 9, verse 3, it says, this is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that the same event happens to all. But Jobs continued in his speech that no one wants to die. Even people who want to go to heaven don't want to die to get there. And yet death is the destination we all share. So Ecclesiastes is saying to us, face up to the reality that life is short and life is unfair. So maybe God has put this book in the Bible so that we won't fall into the trap of simply amusing ourselves to death, only to meet our Maker unprepared. We need to remember that Ecclesiastes is a Christian book written in the first instance for believers. See, we need a reality check too. It's all too easy for Christians to say, because I love Jesus, all things will be fine. It will all make sense in the end. God has my best in his plans. But the truth, of course, is that in this world, sooner or later, reality will bite. Maybe it will be the first funeral that we attend, or an experience of unfairness that goes unchallenged, or the uncertainty that things will ever go your way. Regardless of the fact we're Christians, we live in the world of reality. It says in chapter 8, verse 16, when I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done on earth, how neither day nor night do one's eyes see sleep. Then I saw the work of God, that man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. However much man may toil in seeking, he will not find it out. Even though a wise man claims to know, he cannot find it out. Despite all their efforts to search it out, no one can discover life's meaning. Even if the wise claim they know, they cannot really comprehend it. No matter what we do, there is no guarantee that we won't go under a bus tomorrow. So be angry because your death is certain. As it says in chapter 9, verses 2 to 3, it is the same for all, since the same event happens to the righteous and the wicked, to the good and the evil, to the clean and the unclean, to him who sacrifices and to him who does not sacrifice. As the good one is, so is the sinner. As he who swears is, as he who shuns an oath. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that the same event happens to all. Also the hearts of the children of man are full of evil, and the madness is in their hearts while they live. And after that, they go to the dead. All of us share a common destiny. When it comes to life, It doesn't matter whether you believe in God or not under the sun. The same destiny overtakes us all. As far as our teacher is concerned, this is the same evil under the sun. This is the thing that tastes so bitter in our mouth. It doesn't seem to matter if you're good or bad, righteous or wicked, clean or unclean. Death comes to us all. This seems so unfair. It seems as if God doesn't really care what kind of life you've lived. We all die anyway. Who wants to watch a film or play a game where the goodies and baddies face the same fate, in which they die in equal numbers and in equal measures? You want to see the good guys win and live happily ever after. And as far as our teacher is concerned, this is what really stinks about life. However good you have lived, God seems to treat you just the same. Death comes to everyone. You may have met a Christian who you admire and have helped you in your faith, who suddenly and unfairly die before their time. They leave young families behind. Wives and friends are devastated, and it seems so unfair. And that's the evil under the sun. But as Christians in these days, what an enormous privilege we have to live as we do, this side of the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because our teacher is an Old Testament covenant believer. He doesn't have the hope we have, a fully formed Christian faith. He says that surely any life is better than death. Chapter 9, verse 4 again, he says, but he who is joined with all the living has hope, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. I would place a bet on my living dog to win a fight with a dead lion every time. But of course, we know as Christians that death is not the end. Think for the moment of the Apostle Paul, who met the risen Lord Jesus, even though he was an enemy of Christianity. Wonderfully converted and commissioned to serve Christ for the rest of his days, in a relationship with the living God, he wrote this in Philippians chapter 1. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But even so, every death is a tragedy. We mustn't gloss over these verses and say we know better because we know death is not the end. We still surely feel the unfairness of life under the sun. That there is any death in the world is a tragedy, but it's only the result of sin. We should stop and think every time a funeral parade goes by and pause for a moment. After all, didn't Jesus cry at the tomb of Lazarus, even though he knew within minutes he would raise him to life again? Jesus wept in the face of death, because it was never meant to be this way. It was human rebellion that led God to say to those who were destined for immortality, from dust you came and to dust you shall return. So it's always a tragedy. And yet for us as Christians, we're not haunted by death. We know it's not the end and that there is hope. David Johnson, at the age of 7, was sadly diagnosed with a brain tumour. They operated, and after radio and chemotherapy, they thought they'd brought the disease under control, but it was sadly not to be. And 15 months after his first diagnosis, the result of an MRI scan were explained to David and his family. He was losing the battle. And he asked, as a young boy, only 8 and a half at the time, David said, am I going to die? And the consultant replied, yes, I think you are. David looked at him and said, do you know, I have a friend and his name is Jesus and he died for my sin. I know I'm going to heaven. The consultant put his hand on David's head and said, you know, you're a very brave boy. I'm a Christian too. God will help you and he will help your mum and dad as well. Jesus has died and came back to life, and he will take you to be with him in heaven. Ecclesiastes is constantly saying to us, God is God and we are not. Life is short and life is uncertain and in many ways unfair. God's ways in this world are beyond our control and beyond our working out, and even we as Christians will have to walk through these experiences. Yes, we know that death is not the end, but it doesn't erase the pain and that sense of injustice of death and unfairness in a fallen world. But in the heart of this passage is something that seems to make no sense at first. Chapter 8, verse 15, it says, "And I commend joy, for man has nothing better under the sun but to eat and drink and be joyful, for this will go with him in his toil through the days of his life that God has given him under the sun." Life is certain. Death is certain. Sorry, life is uncertain. Death is certain. So enjoy life. Here it is, the key to the book of Ecclesiastes. Enjoy the life that God has given you. That's what he wants you to do at the end of this talk. Go and enjoy yourself. The application is go and go with gladness. Eat, drink, and be merry. Our reading ended a verse too soon. Chapter 9, verse 7, it says, "Go, eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already approved what you do." Isn't that a breath of fresh air? Be happy and enjoy life as God's gift to you. Ecclesiastes can be a dark and despairing book, but read it carefully and it's not as bad as we might think. Given that death is inevitable, how should we live? Well, the world only has two realities, only really has two answers to this. Firstly, denial, amuse ourselves to death, or despair, that darker, deeper realism that says you cannot find any purpose to your life and therefore no joy in it and no hope for the future. As Christians, we know that this world is fallen and therefore our deaths are inevitable, but it's still God's world and there is still much joy to be had. God gives many gifts to his people. It is not a it's all hopeless, go and have a party attitude. It's look what God has given us when you find good gifts. Enjoy them and celebrate them and find your heart warmed by them. God has already approved what you do, so enjoy the life that God has given you and enjoy it to the full. This is the God-filled response to morality. How should we live in this world? Not just look for pleasure, but find joy in what God gives. Life is short. Life can seem unfair, but never give in to despair. Live this short life with a thankful heart to the God who has given you good things. That's his line and his meaning through this book. And it's what Jesus did. So look at Jesus as your example in this regard. Whenever Jesus saw injustice, he fought it. Whenever Jesus saw death, he was angry at it and wept over it. He saw the brokenness of this world and was deeply saddened and angered. And yet, for the time that God had given him on earth, he ate with a glad heart and drank with a joyful heart. Jesus would gather to him any that would enjoy his company and celebrate with the tax collectors and the sinners, to the utter despair and disgust of the religious people. Jesus walked Ecclesiastes, showing us how to live life under the sun. So the key to this book of Ecclesiastes, the key to tonight's passage, is enjoy life. And how are we to enjoy life? Well, chapter 8, verse 12, "It will be well with those who fear God." We are to fear God. If I can skip to the end of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, this is the conclusion. It says, "The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." As it says in chapter 8, verse 12, we are to fear God. We are to enjoy life by fearing God. How does this bring joy in the midst of uncertainty and unfairness in this very short life? Your relationship with God changes who you are and determines how you behave and lead your life. Fear of God is not a God as judge, but a reverence of God for who he truly is. How does that impact my life? Well, he is the Lord of all creation. He sees everything. He is everywhere. He is the God who is in every room. This means my behavior as a Christian is not determined by the next person who walks through the door, but is determined by the God who is always present. It's like being at high school. If pupils know their teacher is off sick, they're waiting to see who will take the lesson. If a supply teacher walks through the door, they know they can behave just as they want and have a field day. I'd never be a supply teacher. But if it's the head teacher that walks through that door, their whole behavior changes as they know he or she is the ultimate authority and knows each of them personally. See, my identity, my purpose, and fundamental relationship to God means I can be free from others' influence on me. It's liberating and allows me to be me rather than who you want me to be. I am not determined by other people. I am determined by the fear of God. I still might have anxieties in this life, but the fear of God puts them in their proper perspective. So when I wake up in the morning, my first thought is not the wave of uncertainties in my life, but the rock of God's unchanging character. Then I can see the world for what it is, under the sun. When I am left gasping at the greatness of God, and I am humbled at the holiness of God, it actually allows me to see things for what they are. I can cope with the unfairness of life and the uncertainties of the future because I know the God who holds the future in his hand. I can cope with the injustices of this life because I know that the judge of the earth is going to do everything that is right and right every wrong. I just need to be patient for that day. I might worry about my death, but I believe that the God of all creation has sent his Son to be the God of my salvation, and I don't even need to fear death. Death is not as big as the Son. Chapter 9, verse 4, it says, "But he who is joined with all the living has hope, for a living dog is better than a dead lion." So if you're alive today and you're still alive whilst watching this, even if you feel like a dog, there is hope. If you've never tasted the goodness of God before, if you are alive tonight, there is hope for you. Your life can change. You don't have to chase the wind after pointless desires. God is holding something out to you, something better. But the fear of God is the start of finding that rest and hope for your soul. How are we to enjoy life? By fearing God. The invitation of Ecclesiastes is to enjoy life. Stop chasing the wind and find rest in the fear of God. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we spend our days fearing other people. Give us a right sight of who you are. That will give us a right understanding of who we are and how that will bring us to life and freedom. Help us to enjoy the life you have given us and fear you to enjoy that. In Jesus' name, we ask all these things. Amen.
Amen. Amen.